In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Jesus had launched onto the scene in Matthew's gospel. He had taught with great authority in the Sermon on the Mount a new way of life that he said was the law and the prophets itself. His words, his commands, was the fulfillment of everything they had been waiting for. Then Jesus went out into the world living what he had taught in the Sermon on the Mount. And as we saw the last couple weeks, at the heart of this was a deep, profound compassion that Jesus had. Instead of wanting to scapegoat and tear down the weak and the broken, those on the margins of the world, as a sacrifice for the good of society, Jesus had compassion on the wretched, the broken, the sick, the hurting, the outcast. Jesus went to them, had compassion and mercy, and taught them and called them into the kingdom of God. The authorities, having seen Jesus do all this, at the beginning of our text this morning, they look at Jesus and say, "This man is possessed by Satan." They see this work of compassion, that Jesus refuses to sacrifice the weak and instead loves them. They see this as satanic work. Jesus responds to them, "If I work for Satan, then Satan's kingdom is divided, and therefore Satan's going to be destroyed anyways. But if I don't work for Satan, then God's kingdom has arrived. Arrived, and you are enemies of it." Look, Jesus told them, everything that a man does can be forgiven, except one. To turn away from the work of God's Spirit, that can never be forgiven. To refuse the change that God wants to work in your life is the one thing that can never be forgiven. You hypocrites, you authorities, make your hearts good. Transform the inside. The good tree bears good fruit. The bad tree bears bad fruit, but the good tree always bears good fruit. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will be judged by every little thing that comes out of your mouth because it is revealing your heart. So be willing to be changed by God's Spirit. God will forgive all things, except those who are unwilling to be changed by his Spirit and word. The authorities hear this and they come back at Jesus. "Hold on. Before we ever change our lives, we need proof. We need a sign. A sign that you are what you say you are." Jesus responds, "You wicked generation. Always demanding proof from God. Oh, the people of Nineveh that Jonah preached to, they didn't get any proof, and they listened to Jonah, a hypocrite of a prophet. Or the queen of the south who listened to Solomon and all of his hypocrisy, she didn't get any signs or proof, and yet she listened. They will stand up at the judgment against you. You have one who is greater than Jonah, one who is greater than Solomon, one who is not a hypocrite, preaching the word of God to you, and you refuse to listen." Be careful. You're always so consumed about cleaning your lives out, getting pure. But if you don't fill your lives with God's Spirit, with his change, you will become worse than when you started. While Jesus was preaching, his mother and his brothers came looking for him. And they sent a messenger to him. And this person came to Jesus and said, "Your mom and your brothers, they're outside. They want to see you." Jesus asked, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters?" Right here. It's the people who are listening to my words. My mother, my brothers, my sister, my true family are those who do the will of God. Then Jesus gathered with the crowds by the sea and he began to preach to them in parables. He began by saying to them, "God's word is like seed that is spread very liberally everywhere. God's word is going everywhere to change the world, to change lives. But there's different kind of soils, different kind of hearts that receive this word. Some hearts, some soil are hardened by Satan's worldview, the culture, the world that's taught you to think a particular way. Those people never receive God's word at all. They are just turned off to it from the beginning. Then there's others who are receptive to God's word, but the depth of their hearts is shallow. They only take God's word in a little bit, and then when things get hard, when things get tough, their faith, the little faith that it sprouted, it withers away. And then others, they want to receive God's word. They want to be changed. But their lives are cluttered. Their lives are busy. So much else is going on in the soil of their lives. The wealth, the money, the seeking of power, the plans, the dreams choke God's word. And ultimately, it never flourishes. But then there's the soil of the hearts that are ready. They're not cluttered with busyness and pursuits of worldly things. They're open to what God is doing and they want to go deep. The word of God comes into their lives and they are radically transformed in a powerful way that changes the world itself. And also know this, the kingdom of God is also like this. God is spreading his seed throughout the world, creating, changing lives to create better people in the world. But know that someone else is also at work as well. That alongside God's word being spread in the world, there is the word of Satan, the way of Satan that is being spread right alongside it. Competing messages, fighting for the hearts and lives of people. People are going to grow up in the midst of this cluttered world. Some listening to the word of Satan. Some listening to the word of God. And on the judgment day, God will come and he will sort it out. Or the kingdom of heaven is like this. A small, tiny mustard seed that gets thrown into a garden. And that smallest seed takes over the whole garden. It transforms it all. Or like a little bit of yeast thrown into some dough, that yeast takes over the dough, transforms it from the inside out. Or like this, God's kingdom is like this. It's like a man who finds a treasure buried in a field and says, "My God, everything that I've been pursuing has been wrong." He sells everything he has to buy that field to have that treasure. Or a man who's been looking for pearls all his life as a hobby, but he finds a pearl that changes everything. He abandons his whole old life, sells everything he has to get that pearl. This is what God's kingdom is like. Anyone who's experienced God's kingdom, who has been trained by God's kingdom, will recognize that everything they have, everything they stored up, old or new, should be thrown out to pursue God's kingdom. After preaching this, Jesus goes to his hometown. There in his hometown, he begins to preach to them as well. But the people of his hometown immediately start doubting him. Isn't this Mary's son? The illegitimate child born out of wedlock? The carpenter's son? We know his brothers. We know his sisters. They're poor, shameful household. Who does he think he is? With all this wisdom. They were repulsed by Jesus, ashamed, offended. Their lack of faith caused Jesus to not be able to do any great works of power. Rejection. That's what Jesus experiences at the beginning and the end of this text. Right off the bat, he's being accused of being from Satan. He's being challenged to give proof that he's from God. That at the end of the text, his very own hometown is disgusted by him, repulsed, offended, and ashamed. Jesus' ministry, his very life, what he has become about, this profound compassion, this radical redefinition of what true family is, this teaching about God's kingdom, that a person should drop everything, sell their entire lives away in order to pursue this one thing. All this is offending people, causing them to be repulsed by Jesus. Are we really any different than these people in the text who are being offended by Jesus? Doesn't his compassion, his willingness to go into the ugly situations that we want to hide our eyes from, to go into the lives that we would prefer to ignore, doesn't his compassion to identify those who are being abused and oppressed by the world, doesn't his compassion offend us as well at times? Are we like the authorities in the text, who want to defend the pyramid schemes, the oppression of our world, because we don't want to unsettle things? We prefer the current oppression and slavery and madness of our world than to undergo the change of God's kingdom. And so, scared by the change that Jesus is preaching, we push him away. Jesus, I can't handle having my life unsettled that much, flipped on its head that much. I know the world is dark and I'm not living the right path, but that's just too much. Aren't we offended at the call of Jesus to this radical change? Like in the parable, that we would see God's kingdom for the value that it is and drop everything else that we were doing previously to have that, to pursue that, instead of everything else that we had been about. Again, too much change bothers us, it offends us. It repulses us. Jesus told the crowds everything, all of the wrong choices in your life, All of the missteps, the misdirections that you've taken, all of the utter rejection of God, all that disobedience, God forgives that. He does not want to hold any of that against you. But God's forgiveness requires a willingness to be changed by the Spirit of God. If you want freedom from all of the misdirections, all the disobedience in your life up to this very moment, it's yours. But don't reject what the Spirit is doing. Because if you're unwilling to let the Spirit, God's Word, change you, then you're telling God you don't want that forgiveness, that you don't want the freedom that He is offering you this day. Let's not be repulsed by Jesus' call into a new world, a call into a new life. It will change us. God wants to change you. Because He loves you. God wants to transform you into something that you could never possibly foresee. A new heart, a good tree that bears good fruit in this world of darkness and ugliness. Don't fight God's Spirit. He's giving you a fresh start. Embrace His Word. Let the seed of His Word shower your life and your heart. Let that seed take root. Don't let your life be too cluttered with busyness, with pursuits of the world's things to choke that Word. Don't be too shallow. Let this Word go deep. Embrace the Word of God. It will save your life. It will change our world. It will change your life today. Heaven has come to earth today. God is here. Let His Spirit work. It's a beautiful work. It's for our good. Amen.